All right, everybody, welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, my co-hosts, Bruce Gunther and John Enns. Boys, how you doing?
Good. Survived a small storm here, so we're doing well.
Good. John?
I'm doing good. I got a nice little rain here, and things are looking great.
All righty. And I had some fun with my sound effects before we got going, so now we're ready to roll. I guess this week we're a little delayed. That's my fault, but thanks for rescheduling, guys. So now we're a little behind on the news, but let's just get right into it. So June 7th, Tyler Toffoli scored that overtime winner on a pass from rookie Cole Caulfield, and Montreal swept the Winnipeg Jets. I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty excited about Cole Caulfield. The kid looks really good. All he does is score or assist on game winners in overtime. So what do you think?
Yeah, he's doing well, right? So he had another one here in the opening game of the finals here against Vegas too. So,
yep. And at every level, right? We've talked about him on the show previously, but he just seems to do the same things at every level, whether it's scoring or assisting. It's just, he's one of those clutch players that he's fun to watch.
Just finds a way.
Yep. He's always in there, and it's always good to see him get on the board.
And Toffoli too, right? Like, he's had a great year. He had 44 points in 52 games this past season. He had 28 goals, like 28 goals in 52 games. So he was on pace for, well, I don't know, he would have been a 40 goal scorer this year for sure.
You bet.
I'm sure Vancouver is just kicking themselves right now.
Vancouver, LA.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, I would keep an eye on these guys for redraft leagues next year. Cole Caulfield, he'll be a steal next year, I would think. Or he's maybe not the best kept secret anymore, but I'll be trying to snipe him for sure at some point in the draft next year.
If you have a Canadiens fan in your draft, he'll go high.
Yeah, I don't think we have many in our ESPN league, do we, Bruce?
I don't think so.
Mostly Oilers fans.
That's why I don't draft Oilers, because everyone takes them too high.
Yeah, who knew? All right, so then we had, following up that game on June 8th, we had the Vegas game. They took a 3-2 series lead on that overtime winner by Mark Stone. Pretty nice goal by him, actually. Like, I'm a big fan of Mark Stone. I'm not sure where you guys stand with him, but he's been really impressive this year.
Yeah. Every chance I get to draft him, I do.
Yeah. He covers a lot of categories, right?
Yeah. I haven't been a big Mark Stone guy, but kind of seems to be a trend for me where last little bit here, he just keeps going up and up in my rankings. So
it might be the John Enns curse. I don't know. It's like if John hates a player, all of a sudden he does well. So he was ripping Draisaitl forever, and then the guy won the heart and the scoring race.
Yep, sounds about right.
Too funny. Well, I guess we'll jump ahead a little bit on the Vegas thing. So obviously, they ended up taking Colorado out, right? Surprising. Right. They like for Colorado to go up 2-0 in that series. And then they're 8 minutes away from going up 3-0 in that series.
Yep.
And now they've got another disappointing second round exit. Some of Nathan MacKinnon's comments were, you could tell he's just a very frustrated player.
Oh, for yeah. sure. Well, too, in the latter part of that series, he pretty much disappeared too. Right. So,
yep.
He was active in the first three games. And then after that, it's like he just dropped off the face of the map, right? So Vegas did a really good job of eliminating him from the play and making the other guys.
Well, and I think they just lost some confidence too, right? You could see even Grubauer, like when he would let one in early, it was like watching a soft team, right? They just deflated. It was unexpected from my perspective anyway. And now they've got Gabriel Landeskog, Brandon Saad, and Grubauer, all UFAs this summer. Kale McCarr is an RFA, and he's due for a big raise. So, like, we're going to see some pretty big changes here in Colorado, right?
Mm-hmm. It could end up being that way, for sure.
Like, I would be shocked if Landeskog doesn't come back, right? He's their captain. He's one of their best players. But a guy like Brandon Saad and a guy like Grubauer, I don't know if I would expect to see them back.
Yeah, I don't think Saad will be back. I think they'll probably replace him from within, or I think it figures out what they're going to do with Kadri, right? So if they're keeping Kadri, then he can't, he didn't endear himself here in these playoffs to the Avalanche at all. So,
but I mean, if you ship out Kadri, you've lost your second line depth too, right? Like they don't, they're a lot like the Oilers or some of these other teams where, yeah, they've got a deadly first line, but beyond that, like you can shut down that first line, they're in trouble. They don't actually have a lot of depth. When you look at that roster, like they've got a great decor. Grubauer had a good season, but they've got one really good line. And then without Kadri, they don't have much on the second, third, and fourth lines, in my opinion. But what do you guys think?
I'd say they're lacking there too. Like you say, that top line is just a powerhouse, but after you get into those second, third, fourth lines, it really, really starts to waver.
I mean, if you look on paper, it shouldn't be a surprise if Vegas won that series.
No, they're definitely the deeper team of the two. There's no doubt about that, right?
Yeah. All right. So Tampa Bay, they close out that series of Carolina 4-1 on a goal by Braden Point. Point has 42 points, 21 goals over his past two postseasons. So for as much as Nathan MacKinnon, you know, playoff Nathan MacKinnon is a thing, by all accounts, playoff Braden Point is a thing too. And, you know, for drafters and players in redraft leagues, keep that in mind because he tends to step up his production during the playoffs. But, you know, with the exception of his 90-point season he had, he hasn't produced at a point per game typically, right? He's been good. I mean, I had him this year, but I watched him in the playoffs last year where he went on a crazy pace, and I kind of thought I'd get similar production in the regular season, and that wasn't the case. So keep an eye on Braden Point, but definitely be sure not to overpay either.
Oh, next year could be different for the Lightning too, right? They've got some big decisions to make there too. They're even after everything is said and done, they're still well over the salary cap for next year. So
let's talk about that, because a lot of people are making a big deal about the Tampa Bay Lightning circumventing the cap. They're $18 million over, blah, blah, blah. From my perspective, do I like it? No, not necessarily, but you know what? They're playing within the rules of the collective bargaining agreement. Like every team has that same ability to circumvent the cap, if that's what you want to call it. And it just so happened that it worked in their favor this year, and everyone's whining about it and calling a bunch of cheaters, but I think that's just a smart GM making good moves. So what do you guys think?
Well, it started with the Blackhawks, right? When Patrick Kane got hurt. So that's what Blackhawks went and do. They put Kane on long-term injured reserve, and then they went out and got players to fill in the cap space. And then Kane was ready for the playoffs, and off they went. Right. So yeah, they're just doing with it what's in the rules. Right. So the Blackhawks started it, and everyone's going to do it now if they can take advantage of it. Right. And really, when you look at Kucherov's injury, he's actually well ahead of schedule. So it's, So if you look at the actual timeline, he shouldn't have probably been available till the latter part of the second round. So, and it's not like they can just write him off and not worry about it. These guys, this stuff is under pretty heavy scrutiny. NHL has gone out of their way to say since this that this stuff is heavily scrutinized, doctor reports and stuff like that. So it's not just like you can throw a guy on there and, oh yeah, we're just going to leave him here till after the playoffs and stuff like that. They can't do that. So,
well, no, there's protocols to follow, like you said, and medical reports and all sorts of things that they have to follow. It's not like this isn't Pee Wee hockey, right? Like they gotta follow the rules. I just think people are making a bigger deal of this than it should be. But John, what do you think?
Yeah, I think if you can find a way to stretch it a little bit, then power to you. That's just like you say, good GM making good decisions. Do I like it? I don't know. But yeah, it's within the rules. So by all means, go for it.
Well, and you know, Bruce, to your point earlier, like Chicago did that with Kane. But there were other instances of that, and I don't recall. I was listening to another podcast where they're talking about that, and this has happened several times over the past 5 or 10 years. So Tampa and Chicago weren't even really the first ones to do it, but you know, people kind of have short memories and they forget about those things. Yeah.
And they weren't really big name players either that were out. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. This wouldn't even be a topic if Kucherov didn't come back and start playing like Kucherov again.
That's a really good point. That's part of the issue, is that he's now leading the playoffs in scoring, and so now people are pretty pissed. Yeah. But if you're a Bolts fan, you're loving it right now.
Easy way to fix it is just keep the salary cap through the playoffs and make the teams play under a salary cap. And
yep. Well, the NHL could, right? I mean, they could work with the NHLPA and make those changes, but there doesn't seem to be an appetite from either side at this point to make that change. So I think we're all playing within the same rules. So let's just move on, right?
Yeah, no, they want best on best, right? And it doesn't serve well to have Kucherov and Stamkos sitting out because they didn't play a bunch of regular season games to miss the playoffs, right? It's they want everyone's best players on there at all the time. So, and none of the players seem to be bothered with it. Like even Dougie Hamilton said, even after we got beat by a team that was it 18 million over the salary cap, he says he has no trouble with it. It just shows that how strong of a team Tampa has, right? Like their fourth line center is making $5 million a year. Like,
yeah, it's crazy. No, I was going to mention Dougie Hamilton's comments too. And I, you know what, I guess since we're on the topic of Dougie Hamilton, he's a UFA this summer. He's probably going to make a fairly large contract. He might be in that $7 million range, $7.5 million. You know, as Oilers fans, put your GM hat on for a second. Is that somebody you're going to sign? Like Ryan Rashog had that hot take, right? He said he'd rather take Tyson Barrie for 5x5 or 5x whatever over Dougie Hamilton. But for you guys, like, are you taking Dougie Hamilton or Tyson Barrie?
Can I go with Tyson Evan Barrie. Bouchard?
Okay, Bouchard and Barrie. Well, okay, Bruce, touch on that topic first, because that's usually the first argument that comes up is you're going to Barrie Evan Bouchard. So
right, go ahead, run with that one. Because Hamilton's right side D, is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. So if they go after Dougie Hamilton, I'm thinking they'd have to trade Bouchard because they're just wasting him there. If they're going to, he's already sat through this, granted it's special circumstances, but he's basically sat for an entire season. If you're going to bury him, you got to trade him. Like, at least that's how I would look at it. Either let him play or trade him. He's too talented of a player to be sitting there.
Couldn't you trade a guy like Ethan Bear? Like, I'm not saying I don't like Ethan Bear, but I'm just saying he had a poor playoffs. He had a poor regular season by his standards, right? Especially after the elevated year he had previously. Is he not a guy that you could trade and elevate Bouchard and still have Dougie Hamilton in your roster? Because Dougie Hamilton is not an old player. He's coming into his UFA years. So he's 6'6". He's got a rocket of a shot. He's better defensively than either Barrie or Bear, in my opinion. Like, is that not worth a shot, honestly? And then you have Bouchard playing your top four.
I guess the issue is, what are you going to give up to, right? So if you've got Barron Bouchard, their cap hits aren't going to be that big. Yeah, they may not be as defensively strong, but you'll have Barron Bouchard longer. If you bring in Hamilton, what are you giving up somewhere else at $7 million?
Well, because Bear's not making much, right? He's kind of, he was on a bridge deal at about, I shouldn't guess, but he's in the low $1 or $2 million.
Bear was making $2 million this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you trade him and you bring in a serviceable, like what about a guy like Blake Coleman, right? Like that's kind of what I'm thinking, is if you can make something like that work where
someone will overpay for him.
You know what I mean? Try and bring in a value forward for Bear and then try and sign. I mean, I'm not saying that's the right thing necessarily, but I think he is one of the better offensive defensemen in the league right now coming into his UFA years. So I would at least look at it, right?
You got to look at everything, right? So if you can swing a deal for Hamilton and then maybe, so you take a look at whether it'd be Bear or Bouchard, if you can flip them for a young winger, top six winger, then maybe it's worth a shot, right?
Yeah. Well, and like we talked earlier, Bruce, and we'll talk about this more in future episodes, but like they have options here. If they want to go and buy out a guy like Mikko Koskinen and a guy like James Neal, like they can save themselves a lot of cap room and they can make, and then they're going to have closer to $30 million in cap space next season. So if they decide that they want to sign a guy for $7 million, they can do that, right? I mean, and if they don't bring Nuge back, that's another $5-7 million you've got. John, I know you're kind of giving that look, but you know, hold on. Before we get down that trail too, because I'm sure we will. I just want to hear what you had to say about Tyson Barrie. So in your opinion, you would probably take Tyson Barrie over Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah. Why? I really don't know. I just like him more as a player than I do Dougie Hamilton.
Hard to argue.
No real like good explanation for it, but.
But he led the league in scoring by defenseman last year.
Yeah,
Tyson Barrie, right? So I'm saying you could make a case for Barrie too. He fit in well in that power play.
He kind of had a cheat code on that power play though, so.
But, okay, fair enough. But you could also make that argument for any defenseman that comes and plays with Connor McDavid.
It's true. Just the improvement over last year, I think with Tyson Barrie on the power play just showed dividends. So I really like Barrie, so.
Okay, fair enough. While we're still on the topic of the Edmonton Oilers, June 8th, Daniel Nugent-Bowman of The Athletic said that the Edmonton Oilers have stated the team will almost certainly go 7-3-1 in the Seattle expansion draft. So, you know, to me, they're probably, I'm going to guess they're going to sign Mike Smith before the expansion draft or before July 17th. That's going to be the goalie they're going to protect most likely, unless they try and have a gentleman's agreement and they protect Stuart Skinner. And then they're going to try and protect probably Bear and Larson and Nurse, right? Those are going to be the three defensemen.
Well, Larson's a UFA, so
they would have to sign him, I think, before Vegas has a shot at him. Because Vegas has a chance, I think, between the 17th and the 21st, right? They've got sort of a window where they can negotiate with UFAs.
The Seattle does.
Seattle has
early access to UFAs.
Yeah, July 17th, all of the protected lists have to be submitted. And then the draft is on the 21st. And I think in between that time period, Seattle has free reign to talk to any UFAs they want to. So, you know, if I'm Edmonton and I know I want him back, I'm probably just going to offer him a contract and protect him in the draft. And then like Bruce, you and I were talking earlier, they're going to expose Oscar Klefbom almost certainly, right?
Yeah, I would think at this point, unless they're confident in his shoulder, I'm pretty sure they're going to expose him.
I'm not confident in his shoulder from what I've heard.
Yeah, I'm not either. So, and that's not a knock on Oscar. It's just the whole business side of everything, right?
No, I'm an Oscar Klefbom fan. Like watching him play in 2017 when he scored that goal from Desharnais from the point against San Jose. Like that's one of my favorite memories as an Oilers fan. But you know what? He's had a lot of injury troubles, and if it's going to be a chronic thing from now until forever, I'll let him be exposed in the draft. Okay, well, let's move on. The Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy finalists were announced. Matt Dumba, Oscar Lindblom, and Patrick Marleau. I think we were all unanimous in voting for Oscar Lindblom, but John, I didn't see your vote. Who was your pick for that one?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to put him in there, but there's no way I was giving it to Marleau, and yeah, I'd just say Oscar for sure.
And he did win.
I'm sorry, okay, just because you're old in the league could be everyone's dad doesn't mean you get to win trophies.
Okay, I was gonna say I was gonna give an honorable mention to Marleau, but I mean I get the argument, but there's something to be said too for playing that long in the league, right? I for sure Oscar Lindblom definitely absolutely 1,000% gets this one for me, but I still think a little head nod to Patrick Marleau for playing as many games as he has. And he's from Saskatchewan, so I think we got to appreciate that, too.
I figured that was going to come in here, too, and everyone gives me the gears about hating on a Sasky boy, but I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Well, and then, of course, it was announced here today, actually, that Lindblom did win the Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy. So congratulations to him. That is it's a really interesting story. Shortly after that, the Norris Trophy candidates were announced. So Victor Hedman of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Cale Makar of the Colorado Avalanche, and Adam Fox of the New York Rangers. Did you guys think there were any other candidates that were sort of worthy of a Norris nod here, or should have been nominated in place of one of those players?
Darnell Nurse.
Yeah, totally.
Again, my Oilers bias is showing through, but when you looked at Nurse's numbers from last year to this year, it was just huge improvement overall.
Yeah. Well, and you think he was he first or second in even strength goals by defensemen? Like, he was right up there.
I think he was first.
Yeah. And the numbers he played, right? Like,
yeah. He played 60 minutes in one playoff game. Like,
mm-hmm. He was over 62. It was the third highest since they've been recording. Yeah. Like, he played one shift. It was almost 5 minutes long.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way I would have made 5 minutes out there. They would have probably had to send out the card for me to drag me off the ice.
I think for most of us, in overtime, in the playoffs, like, to do that was pretty incredible.
Absolutely.
I thought Charlie McAvoy should have got a nomination.
Yeah, he had a really good season too.
Yeah, well, so I follow at JFresh Hockey on Twitter, and he's got some really interesting stuff there. I'm still trying to wrap my head around his whole data statistical model that he uses to gauge players, but he's got some really interesting stuff there. It's all about wins above replacement and quality of competition, more advanced analytics stuff. But you know, he's basically said that Charlie McAvoy is definitively the best defensive defenseman in the NHL right now. And he should have been given some recognition. And I would tend to agree. He had a really good playoff too until they were eliminated. So yeah, for me, Charlie McAvoy, and I think Darnell Nurse should be given some attention for that category too. But John, anyone else in your mind that you thought got snubbed?
No, for guys who got snubbed, I wouldn't say so. I think you guys covered them. Both of the guys that I would have thought as well, with Nurse and McAvoy. As for my pick on who I thought should have won it, I know I had put in Fox there. But I think I'm actually going to change that to Hedman.
Yeah, you like Victor Hedman this year?
Yeah. I don't know. To me, he just embodies the, if I'm looking for a defenseman to build my team around, I think he's the guy I'd go for, just because he's got that defensive quality to him. He's got the size, he's got skill. He doesn't really put the puck in the net, but he still puts up a ton of points, and he's just a big brute out there.
But he's there every year, right? He's massive, and he plays good hockey. Like, he, yeah. Yep. Bruce, who was your pick for the Norris this year?
Out of the nominees, I picked Cale Makar. Kind of surprised to see him on there because of he was out. He spent several games out because of injury, but defensive-wise, not as good as Hedman, but just watching some of the plays here that he made in the playoffs with his stick, his hand-eye coordination, and some of the passes he was making out of the zone is just wow.
Yeah.
And he was the only defenseman that was a point per game.
Yeah, Makar had a great playoff. He's a lot of fun to watch, and it's unfortunate that we don't get to see him more, being that he plays in Colorado. Like, we just, you know, this year, Sportsnet with the North Division, we just saw a lot of Canadian hockey, and there wasn't a lot of Avs hockey to watch, really, right? Like,
no,
he's a special player, no doubt.
Yeah.
I had Adam Fox. I sort of read some of the things that JFresh Hockey was talking about in terms of advanced analytics and defensive play. Fox had 47 points in 55 games, which is second amongst defensemen. He was on a 70-point pace. He had 23 power play points. He was plus 19, and he played just about 25 minutes a game. And he faced top competition whenever he was on the ice. So, and all of that on kind of a middling New York Rangers team, right? And you know, if you compare him to Makar and to Hedman, like, those two play on elite teams, whereas Fox is not so much. And I read too that basically when Fox wasn't on the ice, the Avs or the Rangers got caved in, and when he was on the ice, they were out shooting their opponents. So I was pretty impressed when I looked at some of those numbers.
Is Fox considered a rookie?
Good question. If one of our loyal listeners could chime in and let us know, or Bruce, if you want to, or our research team, if any one of those three people could let us know, that would be greatly appreciated. I don't know if he's eligible, Bruce. That's a good question. Well, as we're humming and hawing over that one, I'm just going to move on to our next point here. So then we had our Hart Trophy nominees, Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, and Nathan MacKinnon. Not much to argue or to debate on this one. I think all three of us were unanimous in Connor McDavid being the Hart Trophy winner. He had a historic season by all accounts, 105 points in 56 games. He is the greatest hockey player to ever play. at least this season. At least this season. Oh,
I was gonna say, he was first, second, and third in this category.
Yeah, there's no doubt. If he doesn't win the Hart, that just won't happen, so we won't talk about it.
Yeah, Fox is not a rookie.
Okay.
He was drafted in 2016 by the Flames. And then what happened here? So he signed his entry-level deal at 21. He's 23 now, so yeah, he's not considered a rookie.
Okay. Bruce, or John, would you still be upset if he was a rookie at 23? And yes. You got a call or not?
Yes. He's over 22.
Okay, that's the cutoff for you?
22 is my cutoff.
Okay. I think we're going to come up with a new segment on the show. It's called What Bothers John or something. I really just want to know. I want to get into the inner workings of your mind, John. Just some of the things.
Oh, man. Like, that's scary.
Yeah, I just... we should do that for sure. So
we know who he's voting for Calder. It won't be Kaprizov.
Oh, heck no.
Heck no.
I thought we covered this already.
Yeah, we did cover this in a previous episode. If you want to listen to that, go to our website, fantasyhockeyaxe.com.
Nice book. I like it.
Yep. All right, so we're moving on. The Jack Adams nominees were announced as well. So Joel Quenneville of the Florida Panthers, Rod Brind'Amour of the Carolina Hurricanes, and Dean Evason of the Minnesota Wild. John, who's your pick?
Roddy Brind'Amour. Just from what he's done with that team, they're fantastic. You never really look at Carolina as being that go-to team there, but they have turned it around here, and it's just been amazing and fun to watch.
I will agree with that pick. I think Rod Brind'Amour did a great job. The Hurricanes finished third in the league with 80 points. They had a plus 43 goal differential. They're just a very, very good hockey club. They're close. You know, you see some of the things like they're a team, right? They're not just a, they're for sure. He should get some attention there, but Bruce, I think you had some other thoughts on that.
Yeah. I went with Dean Evason, with the Wild. The Wild weren't really expected to do much this year. They're almost expected to be basically almost like a lottery team. And hey, they took Vegas to the seventh game in the first round of the playoffs. So it's,
yeah, they pushed him right good to the brink.
So, got an assist from Kaprizov, obviously, because his injection into the team helped a lot with that.
Yep.
And Talbot and the young guy, the Kapanen in Nets, the young guy they had there, too. So, they had some great performances there. So, I went with Evason.
Okay, fair enough. I'm just going to I had some notes from previous games here, but we'll just jump ahead. So obviously the New York Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning, that series is all knotted up at one here. Tampa Bay just pulled out a 4-1 win. Again, Braden Point came to play. Nikita Kucherov came to play. Some goofy things happened in this one, right? We were talking off air before the show. Obviously I really didn't like that play Braden Point gets pushed into the goal by Adam Pellick. I just thought that was a really poor call by the officials. Like, what's he supposed to do there, right? He's trying to retrieve a puck from between his feet, and he gets thrown into the net, and Varlamov goes down. I'm sure it didn't feel good, but, you know, what's Braden Point supposed to do in that situation? So I didn't like it.
Yeah, I'd say there's really nothing else he could have done, because it was such a fast play, and all of a sudden he's getting a cross check from the back right into the attendee, and I don't know. I didn't like it either, and it's a terrible call, and should be reviewable.
But no, it should be, right? It's stuff like that. There should be an exception or the option to at least review the play and say, oh yeah, you know what? My bad. That was a terrible decision. And no, it's not goaltender interference, or it's not cross-checking, or whatever they call them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so then equally frustrating, but for Islanders fans, was the second goal, I think, scored by Tampa. They had six or seven players on the ice. Mm-hmm. And, again, stuff like that just gets people fired up, but some more officiating blunders in this one, but nonetheless, tied series, and it should be good. So, we'll get into picks, I guess, in the next segment here. And then the Golden Knights, they won game one against Montreal last night, 4-1. I just, they're a good hockey team right now. I don't know what else you want to say about them.
Firing on all cylinders, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You bet. I think they're going to make short work of the Canadians.
Well, okay, so before we get into the third round predictions here, I'm just going to mention last bit of news here. Gerard Gallant has been hired as the head coach of the New York Rangers. Pierre LeBrun reported that the four-year deal is worth an annual or an AAV of $3.5 million. So good for Gallant. He's a good coach. I think, you know, he took Vegas to the Cup final in their first year, right? So if he can do that with that team, there's no reason he shouldn't be able to do something productive with this New York Rangers team.
The rebuild is over for the Rangers. It is now time to win. So
that was a quick turnaround, hey? Like, yep. Was that 2 years ago they wrote that letter to the fans?
I think so, yeah, two seasons ago.
And it seemed like it was going to be doom and gloom in New York for a while, but they've turned that around quickly. I mean, they won the lottery, the draft lottery, once or twice.
Twice.
Yep.
So, and there's talk they might try and bring in Jack Eichel if the Eichel situation can't get sorted out in Buffalo. So something to keep an eye on. That would be very interesting. All right. So with that, let's get into third round predictions here. So the Islanders versus Tampa, the Lightning are 175 favorites, or at least they started the series as 175 favorites. Tampa is 6-3-1 in their last 10 versus the Islanders. The Athletic favored them 69.3%. Money Puck favored them this says 49.1% odds to move on to the second round, or to the Cup final. So by all accounts, it is the Lightning series to lose, but I'm actually going with the Islanders in seven on this one. What do you guys think?
I'll go first.
Awkward silence.
Don't jump at it all at once here, guys.
Yeah. Oh, I went with the Islanders in seven as well. I think the Islanders have improved from the team that lost to Tampa last year in the bubble. And I think it's gonna take some work, but I think the Islanders have the horses this year to do it, and if they can keep Pollock with blasting some of those shots past Vasilevskiy, they'll have a good chance.
I'm going the opposite. I'm saying Tampa in six, actually.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. I just think that there's too much firepower, too good a defenseman, and one goaltender who's going to be on top of his game. I fully expect Tampa to, I wouldn't say wipe the floor with them, but I think Tampa will really, really give it to him.
I like Tampa. I do. They've got a lot of depth at forward. They've got good defense, like you said. They've got good, like probably the best goaltender in the league. But you look at the Islanders. Varlamov probably should have been given some Vezina consideration, because he had a really good season too. I think he led the league in shutouts. he had something like a 920 or a 930 save percentage. Like, he was good, and they have a sound defensive structure and probably the best coach available right now in Barry Trotz, right?
Yep.
Now, they don't have the firepower like Tampa does, right? They've got, like, Barzal is their most offensive forward, but it's just very much a committee, right? They've got a lot of depth there, and part of me is just kind of cheering for Jordan Eberle to see him go to a cup final, but I don't know. We'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, for a guy they basically rode out of Edmonton, that's...
Yeah.
It's nice to see him. Like, last year they won two rounds. This year they've got two rounds in, right? It's...
Yeah, I'd like to see him win
doing well.
A third round. And, you know, it's too bad for Edmonton, because you look at how he's playing. He's done really well in New York the last two seasons.
He sure has.
And they're dying for wingers right now. Mm-hmm. In Edmonton. So that, you know. Anyway, that's just stupid. Anyway. Let's not talk about it. Let's go to Vegas and Montreal. So Vegas is a minus 260 favorite. Surprisingly, Montreal is 5-1-0 in their last 10 against Vegas. Like, they haven't played much, right? Vegas has only been around since 2017, 18. So they haven't played much, but Montreal has actually done well against them. The Athletic is favoring Vegas at 77.7%. Moneypuck.com favored them at 64.3%. After watching this latest game where they just took them to the woodshed, you know, I'm taking Vegas in five on this one.
Took the words out of my mouth there. I was going to say Vegas in five too. So, yeah, just actually watching that game last night, I was like, oh, hey, this is going to be a quick series.
Yeah,
I'll make it unanimous. I had a tough time deciding whether I was going to give Montreal one game or no games, but it just looks like they ran out of gas at the end of the game. They just couldn't keep up.
Mm-hmm. Vegas, like, there's four very good teams left right now, but Vegas is just so good. Anyone that deals with them in the cup final is going to have a tough time too, right? So I think we're all kind of clamoring for a Vegas-Tampa final. Like, I think that would probably be the most entertaining series, but I guess time will tell. So with that, we'll move on to, unless you guys have anything else you want to say about that.
I got nothing.
Nope. All right. All right. All right. All right. DFS picks for the upcoming week. So, Bruce, a lot of these are your picks. I'll let you lead this off here.
So for forwards, I had Tyler Toffoli, $6,500. So he had a point streak going into last night's game. Did he get a point? He didn't get a point last night, did he?
I thought he had the assist on that Caulfield goal. I think it was on the power play, right?
He did. Yep.
If I recall correctly. Yeah, so I mean, he's averaging 11.5 fantasy points a game, right, over his last 10. Like, he's been good. Yeah. I think if there's one forward in Montreal you're going to take, it's at this point probably Tyler Toffoli, right?
Well, I was almost willing to put the whole line in there, right? So you had Toffoli, Suzuki, and Caulfield, right? Because that seems to be the line that's doing the bulk of the scoring for Montreal right now.
Well, and I like that as a stack. And I think, you know, none of the three are really that expensive. Like, Suzuki is $6,100 on DraftKings. I don't know what Cole Caulfield's sitting at. I could have to look that one up. But I mean, that's for sure. You can stack that setup and probably benefit from it at least a little bit. Suzuki, like, not quite as prolific as Toffoli, right? He's got 9.1 fantasy points per game over his last 10 contests, but pretty good value still, I think, at $6,100. Braden Point, again, like we talked about him earlier in the show, he does so well in the playoffs every year. He's just a lot of fun to watch. He's a very good hockey player, especially in the playoffs. $7,000 salary, averaging 10.4 fantasy points per game. He's got 13 points, 30 shots on goal, and just one block shot. But And he's covering the other two categories. So, you know, if you're looking for block shots, probably stay away from Braden Point. But otherwise, he's going to get you some some value, some production in DFS.
So the thing that floors me here is the how close that Suzuki and Point are in pricing. To me, I just think you take Braden Point all day, every day, when comparing those two values.
I would agree. There's no question, because they're both centers, right? So when you're looking at it, you got two center slots on DraftKings.
As long as they're playing on the same night.
What's that, Bruce?
As long as they're playing on the same night.
Yeah, that is true. Mm-hmm. Like, assuming that's the case. But yeah, if you're comparing, if it's a choice between those two players, it's no contest, right? No. It's Braden Point.
Yeah,
but
Points, if you've got the extra $900, Points definitely worth the update.
Yep.
Playoff Point, not regular season Point.
Yes.
Yeah, we want postseason Point. That's what I want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next, we got Brock Nelson. So his salary is again, pretty moderate, $5,300. He's averaging 8.3 fantasy points per game over his last 10 contests. He's got 10 points and 6 goals, 25 shots on goal, and again, just 2 block shots in 13 games played. But, you know, pretty solid production, especially at that price point. So someone that I'm keeping an eye on. He's been good, and I think he had another point. Or did he score tonight against Tampa?
I don't
know. I got the research team on it. He did. So that was his 7th goal of the playoffs.
Yep.
He's done well for them. And then finally for forwards, we got Alex Tuck. This actually blows my mind. His salary is only $4,700.
That's incredible. So
I just don't understand it. Like, by the eye test, Alex Tuck has been one of the best forwards for Vegas. Mm-hmm. He's buzzing around every shift. He's averaging 9.3 fantasy points per game. He's got 8 points and 4 goals, 30 shots on goal, and 12 block shots in 14 games played. So he covers most of the categories fairly adequately. And he's getting over 60 minutes of ice time. I did a little digging. He's actually 3rd on the Golden Knights in expected goals for. So the production compared to what he's costing you, it's kind of a no-brainer. He's going to be in my DFS lineups pretty much every time he plays. Any objections?
None here.
Not at all. Just watching him play and seeing that salary just blows my mind.
Do either know where he came from before Vegas plucked him out? Was it Minnesota?
I can tell you that in a second.
I want to say that sounds right.
That is correct. He was drafted by Minnesota.
Man, I'm curious. I want to go back and look at the expansion draft for Vegas and just like, who did they protect over Tuck, right? Like, you, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but if you're that GM, you're just like, man, I'm a loser. Okay. Defenseman.
Well, the Wild was trying to protect their defenseman, right? So.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why they left Tuck, because they couldn't protect all the
defensemen. Because they did have lots of guys there on that blue line for a while.
Yeah.
And they'll be in a similar situation again with Seattle, I think, right?
Yeah. Ron Francis loves his defensemen.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to defensemen then for DFS. Bruce, you want to lead us off here with this one?
So for this one, I went with Alex Pietrangelo. So his salary is $6,400, averaging 12.7 fantasy points over here the last 10 contests. 8 goals, 46 shots on goal. That's 3rd among that. Is that forwards and defense, or is that just?
Yeah, when I looked it up, I think that was 3rd among skaters.
Wow.
That's put incredible. Up a lot of shots on goal.
36 block shots against 3rd among skaters in 13 games played. Got blown up by Romanoff last night, so
he sure did.
Recovered well from that.
That was funny.
Did you guys see how awesome. Excited Shea Weber was? Like,
yeah.
He was just really, like, that's how you hit. That's how you hit in the playoffs.
I still don't know why Romanoff spent the entire first couple series in the press box, but
I don't either. Looking how he played all regular season, Romanoff was one of their better defensemen, and they sat him for whatever reason. But he got the better of Pietrangelo on that one for sure. But I mean, you know, he's playing very, very well right now. Pietrangelo is like, this is the guy that Vegas was hoping to pick up when they made that move for him. Mm-hmm. Cause he's playing like the Canadian Olympic team, you know, the player that he has been in the past. Like some of these numbers are actually mind boggling.
And then we'll get to one of his counterparts here in a couple of steps down here too. He's been playing lights out for Vegas too. So,
well, since this is one of your favorites, Bruce, you better talk about him too.
So my other one was Alex Martinez. His salary is $5,600. Doesn't have that many points. He's averaging 11.9 fantasy points over the last 10 contests. Goals and assists wise, 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists, 22 shots on goals, but 52 block shots in 13 games, which is first among skaters in 13 games, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And he makes a hell of a forward on the power play. He was wide open for a couple of his goals. Wide open.
Now he's had a really good regular season and postseason. He's a UFA this year, though. So somebody's going to pay him too much money. I read today he's 34 years old. He's turning 34 in July. So someone's going to pay him until he's 38 or 39 years old. And I mean, he's a guy I love on my team, but you know, not at the price he's probably going to get paid.
Unless he's willing to take a discount to stay in Vegas, because he's playing like he's a lot younger than that for Vegas right now. He's playing really well.
If they win a cup this year, like, why wouldn't you want to stay?
That'll be a second one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like that pick. Salary is reasonable given the production. Like you said, he's not putting up a ton of actual points, but I mean, in terms of fantasy production, 11.9, he's doing really well. So
he's covering the categories, right?
Yep. Like if you can't afford to get Pietrangelo in your lineup for whatever reason, I mean, that's a really good alternative.
Yeah, because there isn't a whole lot of difference in their average, right? 11.9 to 12.7, so you're not.
Yep. Last defenseman here. John, you want to talk about him? Because I know you love him.
Shea Weber is who we've got here. Salary $5,000, averaging 8.3 fantasy points per game over his last 10. 3 points, 28 shots on goal, 7th among D-men. I actually thought that'd be higher, but he's got 15 blocks in 11 games. He's just a solid defenseman. He always has been, always will be. I'd say $5,000. He's a good pick.
Yeah, I think, again, give the production a little lower price point than Martinez. You're not getting quite the same, you know, in terms of blocks, but a little better shot production and similar point production. So, yeah, like him as an alternative too. Again, the only problem is they have to play Vegas. So,
yeah. And he's averaging 4 more minutes of ice time compared to Martinez. So.
Yeah, and he's always a threat. Well, and with Petrie out right now, like I think he's more of a threat on the power play. You should put up a few more shots, more potential for goals.
Yeah.
Just some things to keep in mind. All right, and just to wrap things up here, we've only got one goalie here. I mean, obviously all 4 goaltenders for these teams are phenomenal, and they're actually kind of at similar price points. Like I was almost going to throw Varlamov in here, thinking he'd be at a better price point than Vasilevsky. Which is who we've recommended, but he wasn't. So I just stuck with Vasilevsky here. His DK salary is at $8,000. He's averaging 18.1 fantasy points per game over his last 10 contests. He's got the second best save percentage of these playoffs at .934. It's actually going to be higher after tonight. And he's first in goals saved above expected, which is 12.9 according to moneypuck.com. So, I mean, he's just a phenomenal goaltender. I'm spending up for Vasilevsky pretty much every time he plays. What do you guys think?
He's the goaltender to beat him and Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yep, certainly.
For sure. Okay, well, I guess, guys, unless you have anything else you want to talk about, that wraps up the show for this week.
I can't believe we didn't talk about how nice that Carey Price save was last night. That was just
okay, yes.
Just money.
The save.
Thank
or
you
the
for
wink?
Bringing that up, John. Yes, no, that was it was a great save, and I like the wink, right? The Patrick Waugh impersonation of Going back to 1993, awesome. Right? That was pretty good.
That was awesome.
That was fantastic. Okay, well,
that's a good place to leave it then. We'll wrap things up for this week. Next week is going to be probably our last format, doing what we've done here for the past couple weeks, because in our 13th episode, we're going to get into the Seattle expansion draft. And then following, that over the next few episodes, we'll get into free agency and some of that other fun stuff. So, all right. So with that, we'll leave you guys there. Thanks everybody for tuning in. If you have any questions or comments, please get in touch with us on Twitter at FHHacks, on Instagram at Fantasy Hockey Hacks. Visit our website, fantasyhockeyhacks.com, and check out all of our other episodes on the podcast directories where you get your podcasts. And with that, we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks, guys.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care.